If you were with us on Thursday week ago when we had our first Thursday faith connection, if you were here and you stood up for prayer on that night, the Thursday night, and Thomas led us in prayer and prayed a very powerful prayer over all of you who were standing, if you have a testimony from that, we'd like to hear it next week. So we'll be taking testimonies next week from that first Thursday faith connection, and we'd encourage you to get it ready, and we don't want a half an hour, we just want a few minutes saying, I had this, but this happened, and here we are. Praise the Lord. All right, this morning, it's great to see you. God bless you. Glad to have you with us, and good to see you. Some of you have been away, but it's good to have you back with us again. I want to talk to you this morning about some things that have been on my heart. We were going to do it last week, but the Lord changed the program, and Naomi spoke last week, and her CD is on the table out there if you want to get a copy of that. It was called You Can Depend on Dad. Now, in April 15, 1912, was that ring any? Some of you weren't around then. April 15, 1912, something very significant happened. A ship ran into an iceberg. The Titanic ran into an iceberg. And the Titanic, even though it was built in Belfast and was an unsinkable ship, they said, it went to the bottom and took 1,513 passengers with it. Think about that. 1,513 passengers drowned. The reason they drowned, here's the reason, there had been many warnings to the ship. The ship had had a number of warnings that there was icebergs in the area and they needed to change course. The captain didn't change course. He kept on with what his plan was. He ignored the warning signs. And of course, the ship hit an iceberg, sank, and 1,513 people lost their lives. Now, just like the Titanic, every person is on a voyage. We're all on a voyage, many of us on our what we'd call our maiden voyage. But on our voyage, there's opportunities for tragedies and things that happen if we don't take on board the warning signs. Many times, you know, the Lord is speaking to us. And we get into all kinds of habits. We could be those who overeat. We could be... all right, I see that hand. We could be those who undereat. We could be those who do too much exercise, those who don't do enough exercise. We could be those who sleep too much or those who don't sleep enough. All these things happen, and when these things happen, our bodies begin to send out warning signs. Things begin to happen in our bodies. We get pain and discomfort. We perhaps get things like depression and worry, and these kind of things begin to creep into our lifestyle because we haven't taken on board the warning signs given by the Holy Spirit. Somehow or other, you know, people think they are unsinkable, just like the Titanic. And we are unsinkable when we come into Christ. But until we come into Christ and understand that, we're still going to be at the mercy of the devil, still at the mercy of the things that are happening. And you have to realize that when you set a course, your course will either take you to your destination or it may take you to the place where you are hit by an iceberg and you end up at the bottom of the sea. So we need to be aware that God wants us to go on a course. As you heard Naomi mention a few moments ago, God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that He has a plan for us, and we'll, if we stick with His plan, we'll get to the destination that we have to get to. But I want to tell you this morning that even though we fail often, every one of us, we fail somehow or other, God will give us a second chance. In fact, God is not just the God of the second chance, He's the God of another chance. He will give us another chance, and the Bible has a lot of people in it who've had second and third and fourth chances. God has given a lot of people a lot of opportunities, and I guess maybe some of us too, we've had so many opportunities, but the thing that I find incredible about God's word is this, that He is so patient with us. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, and I haven't looked up the scripture for you, but it says, the fool returns to his folly the way a dog returns to its vomit. Gross description, but it's a biblical description. And sometimes we're like that. We keep going back to the thing that we know we shouldn't do, keep going back to the thing that we shouldn't touch, stay away from it. But God is all the time wanting to give us another chance. Listen to this scripture. In Psalm 86:15, it says this, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is slow to anger, but when he gets angry, you better get ready. Now let me read another one to you. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18 says this, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. The Bible is a chronicle of people who made mistakes. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. You think about people like Mark, I guess, in the Gospels, Jonah, Peter, Samson, David, all of them made mistakes, but yet God ministered to them and encouraged them and forgave them. Look at Psalm 85, the first 7 verses. I want to read it to you from the Message Bible. Listen to this. It says, God, you smiled on your good earth. This is the Message. Eugene Peterson is the one who put the Message Bible together. And it's rather interesting when you read it how he has put it. It's in Psalm 85, as I said, verse 1 to 7. God, you smiled on your good earth. You brought good times back to Jacob. You lifted the cloud of guilt from your people. You put their sins far out of sight. You took back your sin-provoked threats. You cooled your hot, righteous anger. Help us again, God, of our help. Don't hold a grudge against us forever. You aren't going to keep this up, are you? Scowling and angry year after year, why not help us make a fresh start, a resurrection life? Then your people will laugh and sing. Show us how much you love us, God. Give us the salvation we need. What a great passage. I mean, you could just spend a week just meditating on those verses. What a blessing that God wants to give us another start. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, it says this, and he who sat on the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. Wonderful promise of God. And I guess everybody here today and everyone who listens to this message across the world over the next 24, 36 hours really feel like, hey, we could do with a new beginning. There's areas in our life where we really need a new start. Even though we're well into this year of 2018, we still need to press on and get on with the job and do the things that God wants us to do. I was reading about Jonah. Jonah is one of my favorite characters to read about, and he's an interesting one if you spend some time. But God gave Jonah some instructions. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to the people there, and I want you to do that now. Jonah said, okay, and he ran away. He ran away, he got on a ship, and when the ship got out to sea, there was a great storm, and if you've read the story, I'm sure you know about it. But because of the storm, and I won't go into all the details, but the crew of the ship threw him overboard. But you know, the interesting thing that I find is that God had prepared a live submarine for him. It says a great fish swallowed him up. In Jonah chapter 3, first 2 verses, says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now think about this. He's in fish soup at the moment, and God speaks to him a second time. He says, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. In other words, do what I've told you to do. He's giving him a second chance. Now, if you read the story, it's interesting because it says God spoke to the fish. The fish, this live submarine that God had prepared for the old preacher, was directed by God to go to where he's supposed to go. So he spoke to the fish. He came. The fish came to the beach at Nineveh and burped Jonah out onto the beach. Now think about what I'm going to tell you. The people of Nineveh worshipped Dagon. Dagon was the fish god. So a fish arrives, burps a preacher out. He's covered in seaweed and fish soup. And he's shouting, "Repent, repent." They worship the fish god. What do you think they're going to do? Do you think God leaves anything to chance? He's got it all under control. He knows exactly what to do, when, and how. And so Jonah went and did what he's called to do. But so often we're like Jonah. We miss what God calls us to do. We say, well, I'm going to do it my way. And other ones in the Bible, I was thinking about David. David, a man after God's own heart. And in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, it says this, when David badly failed, he missed it totally. It says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin, for uncleanness. Now, a fountain means cleansing. A fountain means there's a way to deal with the sin problem. There's a way to deal with the difficulties that you face. There's a way to be cleansed. God can give you, like he gave Jonah and David, a second chance if you'll start to do what he called you to do. See, he's already spoken to some of you about... Now, listen to me because I know what I'm talking about. He's already spoken to some of you about what you eat. It's gone very quiet in here now. He's already spoken to some of you about the things that you're eating. Then you wonder why you get sick. You wonder why you got physical problems. God has been sending you warnings like he sent to the Titanic. Don't do that. Now, I've told you my story several times. I'll repeat it again this morning because I'm sure somebody hasn't heard it. Stories and testimonies don't create faith. It's only the Word of God that creates faith, but sometimes it can give you a key that will help you. A couple of years ago, I've told you I got a pain in my side. I went to the doctor because my advice is if you're not getting healed by faith, go and see the doctor. He'll tell you what's wrong, then you know what to pray about. I went to the doctor and he said, "Oh, you've got diverticulitis." Elizabeth was there. She was sitting on the chair beside the desk. And the doctor's looking at me. He says, "You've got diverticulitis." Here was my response. "We'll have to pray about that." The doctor went, "Huh?" He didn't understand it. He may go to church, but he's not a person like of faith like we believe we are. So we prayed about it. I said, "Lord, diverticulitis." Now, if I believe what I teach, and I teach that Jesus took my sickness on his own body at the tree at Calvary so I don't have to have it. So Jesus took my diverticulitis on his body on the tree at Calvary so I don't have to have it. I believe that. I believe that. So I believe that. This I'm praying. I believe that. Thank you, Father. I don't have it because Jesus took it. See, this is why Jesus' face was so marred at Calvary. He was not like a man at all. He was so contorted. He took every cancer and every diverticulitis and every diabetes and everything on his own body so you don't have to have it. And God spoke to me. This is what he said. "Don't eat red meat." Now, Elizabeth will tell you, "I like a steak. I like gravy. I like onions on it." God said, "Don't eat red meat." Now, that was for me. Say, "That was for Norman." Okay, that was God's word for me. It wasn't just God's word for all of you. You've got to seek God for yourself. So I haven't eaten red meat for 2 years. Had no more diverticulitis. See, I took the warning. I obeyed what God told me to do. You may think, "Well, that's strange." Well, you see, God knows more about me than I know about me. God knows more about me than my doctor knows about me. I've told you before that every time you go to the doctor, and thank God for the doctor, every time you go there, he'll do a little test and he'll say, "Well, this is the result of the test." And that is the result of the test from his perspective. But you see, our perspective has got to be this. our perspective has got to be the Word of God. What the doctor tells you is true, but this is the truth. When said over here, maybe it might go down better. What the doctor tells you is true, but this, the Word of God, is the truth. We have to take God's Word. See, man shall not live by bread alone, but by how many? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word means every word that is continually proceeding out of the mouth of God. See, faith doesn't come by having heard. Well, I heard Norm say that before. I heard this last week. I heard this. Faith comes by hearing. What are you hearing? I've got some good news for you. The good news is this, that by now, here we are on the 11th of February, 2018, you should have closed the doors on 2017. You should already have closed the doors on the problems, the pains, the difficulties, the frustrations, the worries, children, the grandchildren, all the things, you know, because it's not just you, it keeps going on and on and on. You should have closed the door on all of those things and be standing at an open door where God is saying, here are the blessings. I've only got blessings for you. I've only got life for you. I've only got everything good for you. Paul, that great apostle, said in Philippians 3 and 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Paul says, I'm forgetting the past. He had a past to forget because he'd killed Christians. The Message Bible says, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. I like that line. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. Be like Paul. See, you don't need a new set of rules. You just need to renew your relationship with the Lord. Just need to say, okay, God, I hear your voice. I'm doing what you say. I'm going your way. I'm not going to stay with the same old track that I've been on. I'm changing. I'm listening. You're not going to have to send a big fish to catch me. That's a change from catching a big fish, isn't it, Chris? You know, I can remember back in Ireland, and I'm sure maybe some of you, has anybody never ever seen snow? You've never seen snow. I mean, the Winter Olympics are on right now. If you've been watching television, you'll see snow. That's what it was like in Ireland. Snow. I've been in the snow where it's been over my head. But I can remember times in Ireland when the snow was on the ground and I'd come out and my car, the windscreen would be frozen over. And sometimes if my battery wasn't as good as it should be, I'd have to get a jump start on a cold morning. Some Christians are like that. Maybe some of you here, maybe some of you need a jump start when you're cold in the mornings. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, look at this. Psalm 119, verse 28 says, when my soul melts from heaviness, strengthen me according to your word. The Message Bible says, my sad life's dilapidated, a falling down barn, build me up again by your word. I like the way Eugene Peterson reads some of these things. My life's a falling down barn, build me up again by your word. You need some global warming on a cold morning. Here's your global warming glow. Let the light of the sun, S-O-N, shine in on you. Some of you haven't got it. When you start to get into this word, that's an entry point into a daily fellowship with God. We begin to read the word, we begin to meditate on it, and we're coming into that place of fellowship with the Father. We're spending time with the Father, and we're getting warmed up. Sometimes our spiritual batteries are a bit cold and run down, and they need to be pumped up. That's why we recommend that you get the CDs. I mean, how cheap can I make them? I gave you the CDs here for $2. That's just about what they cost us. You need to take those CDs and stick them on there in the morning. Esther, this little girl who was here, our little granddaughter, 7 years old, every night, she's got a CD player, and Naomi's got a little speaker which looks like a flower. And this little speaker goes across from her CD player onto her pillow, and every night she's listening to her mom or dad or to granddad preaching or listening to some worship music as she's going to sleep. She goes to sleep with the word in her heart. When she wakens up in the morning, she's talking the word. It's going in and it'll come out again. If you don't put it in, you'll get cold. Those kids out there in the Sherpa Kids program, they are being fed the word of God this morning. And as you heard Naomi say, she'll be challenging them about having a vision and a dream and dreaming bigger than ever before. We have got to be like that too. Joshua 1:8, New Living Testament says, "Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed." Only then will you succeed. Now, there's a great story in the Gospels that I like, and I've read it probably to you before, but it's in John, the 5th chapter, John chapter 5. It's a story about Jesus speaking to a lame man, and he's been there for 38 years from his birth. Now, think about that. Here's a man, he's been lame for 38 years. He was born that way. I don't know whether it was an accident at birth or it was just how he was in the womb. I don't know. That doesn't make it clear. But the Amplified Bible, John 5:5 Amplified, there was a certain man who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he'd been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well?" That's a strong statement. Are you really in earnest about getting well? See, a lot of people want to be healed, but they're not really serious enough to do anything about it. I'd like to be well. I'd like to be healed. I don't want to have the pain anymore. Okay, the answer is, get the CDs, get your Bible out, mark all the healing scriptures, read them all through, do it every day for the next 3 months, and you'll be well. Oh, but that's a hard job. I want to watch Days of Our Lives. Are you really serious in earnest about getting well? Maybe God's asking you that question this morning. Are you really serious? Are you really in earnest about this lifestyle? Not just playing patsy and satisfying your religious need to go to church. Are you really, really serious? I read a scripture to you a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to read it again. Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. Jeremiah 30:19, it says this, "And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving in the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." I've said that regarding this group of people. If we will begin to be focused on the word and be thankful for what God is doing in our individual lives, then he will multiply us and he will be glorified in us and we'll not be small. As a group of people, we can grow and expand. We can become much bigger if we do it God's way. But don't judge your success by what God is doing with other people. Don't judge your success personally by what he does with me or with Elizabeth or with anyone else. See, how God deals with me may not be how he deals with you. You're a different personality. God knows what my limits are as a person. He knows what I'm willing to do. He knows my heart and all the rest of it. But you may be different. So what he's doing with me, he may not be doing with you. Don't put you in my shoes and don't put me in your shoes. Begin to listen to God. Begin to do what he's telling you. Are you really in earnest about this lifestyle that God has prepared for us? I could take you right now to people that I know who have heard some of these things that we teach and say, and they're struggling. People who should know better, but they're more interested in the things that are happening out there than the things that should be happening on the inside of them. See, how you handle your problems is your business. It's between you and God. But how you handle it will lead you to freedom from the problems or frustration with the problems. You'll either freedom from them or frustration with them. So we have to do it God's way. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 in the Message Bible, God speaking to the people, he says, "So be very careful to act exactly as God commands you. Don't veer off to the right or to the left. Stay focused on what God is saying to you. Stay focused on the call God has brought you." How many of you know what a dove is? I don't mean the soap. It's a white bird. It looks a bit like a pigeon. Do you know that a dove has no peripheral vision? Dove can't see right or left. It can only see straight ahead. Listen to John 16. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Not right, not left. John 16:13. "He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future." The Holy Spirit is a symbol of the dove, and the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one-eyed about the Word. We talk about our football team. Oh, we support Richmond. We support Collingwood. Right? We get one-eyed. You have to get one-eyed about this book. It has to be the Word first, the Word second, and the Word last. Are you really in earnest? Like Jesus asked the man by the pool. See, the problem with most people is not the sickness. It's the lack of focus. People are not focused. When you begin to say, "But my situation is different. You don't understand, Norman. The doctor said this or the doctor said that." What that's telling me is you're not looking at God's Word. You're looking at truth, not the truth. You're looking at facts. You're looking at what... Now, I said this recently. I think it was on the Thursday night. When you get a report from the doctor, what you need to do, if he's giving you an x-ray or some sort of report, you need to put it on the table and put your Bible down beside it and decide which one you're going to believe. "I'm going to believe God's Word." Lay your hands on the doctor's report and say, "I command you to be changed to conform to this image." I'm telling you how to live this life. This is how you come to be where God wants you to be. Isaiah 50, verse 7 in the New Living Testament. "Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do His will, and I know that I will triumph." God has a purpose. Don't focus on lesser things. Find out what God has for you. Find out that He's already said, "By the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed." Don't concentrate, "Oh, but I have this pain. I have this ache. You know, I can't do this and I can't..." Forget all that stuff. Start saying what God says. I told someone on Saturday night, we met with someone, and I said, "Listen to me. The problem is not what your body is telling you. The problem is what your tongue is telling. Death and life are in your mouth. Death and life." If you look in today's newsletter, you see there's an item in the back of the newsletter, and it says this: "Stay focused." When Ian was here last week, you may remember he gave testimony about when he hurt his back. Remember, he told us the whole story of how he went to lift a pillow and he hurt his back. But he got hold of Romans 8:11. And this is what it says: "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." You need to stay focused on the Word of God. Get a scripture that relates to your situation and say nothing else. A number of years ago, when we were in America, Elizabeth didn't feel very well. And some of you have met Drummond Tom, a friend of ours from America. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He was an older man. He's passed away. And We were at his church in Louisville, in Kentucky. And Elizabeth didn't feel very well. And Drummond came originally from South Africa. And of course, in his booming South African accent, he would say, "Well, my dear, we'll do such and such." And he said, "I'll take you to see my chiropractor, Dr. Felty is his name." So we went to see this naturopath, not a chiropractor, went to see this naturopath, and Dr. Felty examined Elizabeth and did a few little tests, and he says, "You have hypoglycemia." And we looked at each other and said, "What does that mean? What's hypoglycemia?" And he said, "Sugar will kill you." So he said, "You're not to have anything with sugar in it." So we're going out to the restaurant later in the week, and Drummond says, "Come, Elizabeth, my dear, and I'll show you what you can eat." So we went along the cafeteria line, and he says, "You can have that, you can have that, you can't have that, no, and definitely not that." For 2 years. Now, on the way back from America, Elizabeth sat on the airplane with a bag of porridge meal and fresh water. And she ate porridge meal and drank fresh water. Porridge meal all the way home from America. Wouldn't touch, nothing to do with the airline food at all. For 2 years after we came home, she never touched anything with sugar in it. And I don't know if you know, do you know when you cleaned your teeth, however you do it, when you cleaned your teeth this morning, there's sugar in your toothpaste. We had to find a toothpaste that didn't have sugar in it. But you know what? Because she obeyed the warning signs, she can eat sugar all right now. She had to get that out of her system, and she was set free from hypoglycemia. God is very good to us. He's greater for us than we actually believe. God wants to do so many things with you. John 15, verse 16, New Living Testament. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last." Is your healing lasting? "So that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name." See, it doesn't really take a lot of people to make a change. It just takes one person who's really said, "I'm going to focus on this. You can count on me, God." Gideon in the Bible chose 32,000 men for the army. God said, "Too many." And you read the story. He whittled it down to 300. You see, God's not interested in how many can be counted. He's interested in how many can be counted on. Can God count on you? Is he able to say, "Okay, you're my child. I want you to do this and thus"? He's just looking for a willing heart. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. There's so many things that God wants to do with you and with me, and he wants to give you another chance today. Every one of you. You may say, "Oh, but Norman, you know, I've been in this for a long time. You know, I've been around. I've been listening to you for the last 30 years. Well, that's good. But how much of it have you taken on board? How much of it are you actually doing? Are you spending time in the book? Are you reading this daily? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you doing the things we're suggesting? See, God didn't tell me to do what we're doing just for my benefit. This works. What we're doing is for you. I'm giving you the warning signs. Don't be like the Titanic and miss it because it could be a disaster. There's somebody here this morning, and in the past few days, not all the time, but off and on, you've had a pain in the side of your head right here in front of your ear. In front of your right ear, you've had a sharp pain. It's been there off and on several times, not all the time, but Thomas, come here. Elizabeth. Okay, all right. Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it. All right. Lay your hands on her, Elizabeth, please. This side up here. Thank you, Father, right now for the anointing. Hallelujah. That's it. Take it. That's it. That's it done. Thank you, Father. See, it's not the length of the prayer, it's the anointing. The anointing destroys. And listen to the word. How many times have you sung an old song that sings, by the anointing Jesus breaks the yoke? That's not true. It says the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. You won't have that again, Maria. It's dealt with this morning. The anointing is taken care of, and it won't come back again. In fact, right now, as you're lying there, just relax and enjoy the presence of God, because God is doing something wonderful and exciting in you. Thank you, Father. Right now. Fear. I command you in the name of Jesus. Fear, cease. Put your hands on her. Cease your operation in Maria right now. Fear, you are dealt with. Faith, you're coming. Fear is gone. Stopped right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Russell.